Blog Talk Radio.
And I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As always, we love to have you all here on the air with us. And, you know, if you want to find out more about this and the other shows that we have, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'm going to call in my co-host. Pam, are you there?
I am here, and I'm happy to be here. Nice to talk to both of you tonight. It's a wonderful Thursday night in South Florida, mid-Florida. Mark and I are both in two different places in Florida. And our condolences to those that are struggling a bit more with the weather. Tonight, you want me to go ahead and offer our, introduce our guest?
Yeah, go ahead, Pam.
Okay, tonight we have Jerry Gavin, who many of you know. He's written a book called Messages from Margaret, and he is a talk show host himself. He has a show, I believe, in, correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, I think it's on Hay House, isn't it?
Right, Hay House Radio.
Yeah, and tonight Jerry's with us, and I think it promises to be an exciting show. Welcome, Jerry Gavin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be back again. I had such a good time the last time when we did the show together.
Good.
Yeah, and we really enjoyed having you on and everything. And, you know, one of the things we wanted to do, which is going to be a little bit different from the show we've done in the past, is that me and Pam are going to actually do some interviewing and some Q&A about relationships in honor of Valentine's Day, which is coming up tomorrow. And we're going to talk about the energy of relationships and everything. We're going to do that directly with Angel Margaret, which you'll be channeling, right?
Right. That's kind of a way that things happen a lot on the show, but we thought that'd be really kind of a perfect opportunity tonight to let her deliver the message directly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wonderful.
So, one of the things that we wanted to find out from you since the last time we talked to you is what kind of things have been going on. I think I saw some stuff out there that you're definitely, of course, really busy and doing all kinds of great things with Hay House, with your radio show there, and also with the fact that I think you're doing some I Can Do It conferences this year.
I am, actually, which is really, really exciting. There's so many different opportunities that have been coming up and a lot of really exciting things that have been happening. So, yeah, you're right, Mark. The radio show is still going strong. As a matter of fact, this coming March, in the first Tuesday of March, because we're on every Tuesday, 6 o'clock Eastern time or 3 o'clock Pacific time with Messages from Margaret, the radio show on HeyHouseRadio.com, it's actually we're going to be celebrating our first anniversary of the radio show. So that in itself is
Wow. Really
exciting. Because when we started, it was like an every 3 month thing. The show started as a 3 month trial program, and we made it through 3 months, so that it was the next 3 months, and the audience has been growing, and they're not talking anymore about, well, we'll extend it for 3 more months now. So I was so excited to come to that point where it had made it to a full year. So I'm really excited about that. And I was asked to be part of 2 I Can Do It events. For those people in the audience that might not know what those are, the I Can Do It conferences are opportunities to hear keynote speakers who are some of like the really best known people, Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Cheryl Richardson, those type of people as keynotes. And then there are a series of 90-minute workshops that also go on where you have authors have the opportunity to teach a workshop and then, you know, do a book signing afterward. And I was invited to do one in Denver, which is coming up really soon on March the 29th. And another one in the end of October in Pasadena. With the weather the way it is, I kind of wish Pasadena was going to be March. I would love to get somewhere warm right now. But we're going to be going to Denver, and I'm really thrilled about it. I'm so excited about kind of both, first of all, having a chance to meet people that I've been talking to on the radio, because a lot of folks have written and said, hey, I'm coming to Pasadena, really looking forward to meeting you. So that in itself is really exciting. It's exciting because at the workshops that I'm going to be teaching, I'm going to be channeling Margaret live in the room for people. So people have had a chance to hear her over the radio, but it's actually one of the first times that I'm going to be in a room channeling her live, answering people's questions live during that time. And she's going to be talking about what are the, over the 20 years that we've been doing readings, what are, you know, the most, the questions that come up the most often. What are the things that are most burning in people's consciousness right now, you know, and what are those things that she is bringing to the world to kind of help to take us into that next level. So that's really exciting. The other thing that I just heard about yesterday, and it was such exciting news too, was that there is another foreign language edition that is coming out in Denmark. They just bought the rights to publish the book. So the book is actually now going to be coming out in 7 different languages over in Europe.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so exciting, you know, and I still laugh about it because I know when I was on the show the last time we were talking about the whole thing leading up to it, and Margaret was talking about when she asked me to write the book, would you please write this down so I can share my messages with the world? And I was joking about the fact that to me the world was like Jersey, New York, maybe a little Pennsylvania, maybe Connecticut. So the concept that I'd ever have that opportunity to both do the radio show to reach and talk to people all over the world, and now to be able to actually have the book coming out in so many different languages, you know, that just is, it's so really exciting. So yeah, just it's just been great, and it just seems to be growing and kind of taking on a life of its own. I'm in the process right now of working on the second book for Chaos, which I can't talk too much about yet, but hopefully at some later point when we get to do another radio show, I hope I can a little more. And this one is going to really have some audience involvement. And, you know, so you guys might actually help us in the writing of the book. So, but you know, that's for another conversation for a little bit later. But a lot of really just wonderful, wonderful stuff has been happening. And I thank you guys so much for having me on the show, because it's programs like this that have been the lifeblood of everything, starting from the very beginning when it was first started as an independent published book, and you know, I was doing radio shows kind of trying to get the word out. That's how people have been finding out about it. So I really do appreciate your helping me to spread the message and helping me to get Margaret's voice out there.
Wonderful. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for that. That was lovely. It, lots of information, lots of things going on right now.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Jerry, tell me something. You, I know many people know your story, but I know that we have listeners that have never heard you before. So I'd like to sort of introduce everyone to you, if I could. How did you get involved with Margaret, and who is Margaret exactly?
I guess to tell the story again, I'll try to give you more of the Reader's Digest version, so as not to spend a lot of the program talking about it. But what happened, and I do ask you, I do thank you for asking the question. I really did not come into this as a great believer. I didn't come into this with a great deal of psychic ability. If anything, I think I was a very logical, scientific disbeliever in many different things. And I had the opportunity to move in and share a house with, at that time, a friend of mine who now is my girlfriend, Gail, who the house that we moved into turned out to be a very, very haunted house. And there's something about being a disbeliever in anything paranormal that changes very, very fast when you're thrust into a situation of living in a haunted house, because as logical as you might want to be, there are just things that totally defy logic. So we did everything we could. She had just purchased the house, so it wasn't the kind of thing that we were able to just walk away from, you know, if it was an apartment that we could have just given notice and moved to somewhere else. And back then, there nowadays there actually is disclosure that you are supposed to say when you're selling the home if there's any kind of unusual things that have happened in it, which kind of is amazing to me that people are actually do that, but there was no disclosure about that when we bought it.
Wow.
And, so it was a very weird experience. It was an experience that in order, when we learned about how to try to clear that energy, we literally did become involved in what was a psychic who channeled an exorcism of sorts that we utilized to try to clear the energy. Probably something very different than I would look at or do today, now that I understand working with energy a lot differently than I did then. Then I didn't know anything. And she asked me to stand at a very specific point in every room we did it in, which was a northern point in the room. And that energy went through me when it left. So it left me energetically depleted and feeling horrible, but I later learned the reason for that was so that I would recognize that energy so I could separate in time to come what was energy that might have a lower vibration, what we might call negative energy, or energy that has a higher vibration, more deeply spiritual energy. And that was the thing that started me down the road, and it Mark, Pam, it started me down the road, as I've often said, kicking and screaming, because I did not want any part of this. And I just kept having more and more experiences and kept fighting those experiences. And the more I kept fighting it, the more they kept happening, you know? And the more they kept happening at really inopportune times, you know, like when you're driving in the car down the street or you know, and you suddenly get this vision of something which you shouldn't have happen when you're driving. So I started to finally explore what was going on a little more. And that actually got me into studying about shamanism. And that led me into shamanic journeying and soul retrieval work and a number of other different things. But it was actually a point of very personal desperation. Just a lot of problems going on in my life that one night I just sat down on my bed and closed my eyes and I had this overwhelming urge to communicate with an angel. I believed that they were there. You know, I had learned about them growing up Catholic. I knew that there was something there, and I always had this profound belief in them. But some reason that night, I said, you know, I know you're out there. If I knew your name, I would talk to you. I'd find a way to talk to you. And closed my eyes, and as though there was like a white movie screen in front of my eyes, and in big, bold, black letters, the name Margaret spelled it. And my first reaction to it was to say, Margaret, like, what kind of angel name is Margaret? You know, I mean, give me like, you know, Ezekiel or something like that, you know, not Margaret. So I said, all right, come on, man, just get serious, Jerry. Close your eyes again, and, you know, maybe you're getting a message. What's really the name? You know, and it kept coming up over and over in different colors and different fonts. So finally, you know, I finally caught to the fact that, okay, it's Margaret, it's a weird name, but I'll go with it. And what came up for me and I decided to try was something I had never done before, which was automatic writing. And I wrote a letter, as if your audience isn't familiar with it, the concept of automatic writing is you write a letter to a spiritual entity. It could be God, it could be angels, it could be your spirit guides, it could be your higher self, and you basically ask for advice or help or, you know, countenance, like you would if you were writing a letter to your best friend, your closest friend in the world. And that part isn't that hard. The hard part is the part where you start the letter back to yourself, you know, and write Dear Jerry, and then just sort of let flow whatever comes out, because, you know, the logical part of your mind says, as mine did, Jerry, this is the dumbest thing you ever did. You're writing the letter. Now you're writing the response to the letter. Clearly you're going to hear whatever you feel like hearing, you know. So this is sort of a silly kind of exercise. And the most amazing part was that could not have been further from the truth, because the letter started, as all of Margaret's messages since then, with hello, dear one, and welcome, and then gave me this incredible, insightful information. And she identified herself as my guardian angel, as my guardian spirit, and said that all of mankind has guardian angels. We all have an angel that was instrumentally involved in our creation, who is tied to us in our DNA, basically, because our DNA, she explains, is not just a physical thing. It's actually a soul connection. It's that identifying mark is what exists in the cellular structure of our souls. And that's how I began to talk to her through this process of automatic writing. And it's interesting, I've been doing it that way by writing letters up until really just a year ago. And it was a year ago with the start of the radio program that I started to channel Margaret by speaking her live, by just letting her come through and talking as I was getting the message. You know, I would talk as I was typing, but it was always more about the writing of it. And I always sort of thought I needed that distraction of the writing to kind of create a better connection. And when I was first going on the radio, not to do my radio program, but the very first time when the Hay House book came out, I was a guest on Diane Ray's show, which focuses on new books. And I had just been speaking with Reed Tracy a little bit earlier before the show, and he made the suggestion of channeling Margaret live to answer callers. And I was petrified. You know, first of all, you know, I'd never done it before in that manner. And then here I am doing it on the radio, you know, for people to comment to. So it was a really, really scary experience to do. And Diane said, listen, you know, don't worry a lot about it, because we don't have a lot of callers for this particular program, because they're not expecting to call in. And then we got to the break, and the board was full of callers. and fortunately, it went really well, and so well that it was the birth of the idea for the radio show that I'm now going to be doing for a year. So I hope that didn't take too long for me to answer the question, but that's kind of in a nutshell the whole journey of how everything has come up and who Margaret is. If people want to learn more, by the way, if you go to my website, which is jerrygavin.com, GerryGavin.com, right on the home page, you can actually download the first two chapters of the book for free. And the first one gives a detailed story about everything that happened to me, and the second chapter is Margaret's first message to the world. And so it's kind of a great way to learn a little more information and, you know, find out about readings with Margaret and how to communicate with your own angels and other things.
Wonderful. Well, that is wonderful. And I know we talked, Jerry, before coming on the air, that that possibly you would let us ask Margaret a few questions tonight on the air. Is that still an okay situation? Are you up for that?
Absolutely. When we were talking about doing this program, one of the things that Margaret had shared with me is that, you know, the program is coming out the evening before Valentine's Day. And that's certainly one of the things that's just so prevalent right now. Valentine's Day is just such a big day for people who are involved in a relationship to do something expressing some level of love to the people in their lives. But also, it can be a very, very depressing day for people who might not have someone that they consider significant in their lives, and they may not understand a lot about the whole concept of love and relationships and how that works with vibration, you know? And she always talks about everything being about vibration. So she had asked if it would be possible to allow her to speak directly with you, and that kind of would be fun rather than just interviewing me. If you have a chance to speak directly to her and interview her, I think that would be a great opportunity to let her get her message out there.
We would
love
it.
Hey, Jerry?
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, we actually have two callers in the queue. Do we want to allow them to ask questions at the end of the show from Margaret?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Whenever you would like, we could do it at the end of the show or midway, however you want to do it.
All right, sounds good. We're going to actually skip the commercial break, and let's. I'm like,
go right to Margaret.
I'm like, let's get Margaret here.
Okay, if you guys would just give me a second to centered and to take a sip of water, and then as I come back, I'll come back chatting with Margaret then. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, dear ones, and welcome. Thank you so much, Mark and Pam, for giving us this opportunity to speak to you tonight. I'm so excited about your questions and to share some information and to speak with your callers. So thank you very, very much for this opportunity.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. I know I've done a lot of work with you through Jerry, and I always love the guidance you give and how loving it is.
Oh, thank you. I always love speaking to you as well and your openness to that guidance and allowing yourself to be flexible in your life and always looking to increase vibration in that way. So definitely I'm thrilled to do so. So how can I help you? What can I answer?
Well, I have a question to begin with. I know tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and I actually have three questions. The first one is for people that are interested in improving the quality of the relationship that they already have, perhaps a relationship has gone a bit stale, and you'd like to bring it back to life, increase the intimacy, increase the love in a relationship, break through the distractions and frustrations that we see every day and associate with each other, and reach a new level of love, what would you suggest to people? How can they find again that intensity?
Oh, Pam, that is such a wonderful question, and I thank you so much for exactly the way that you asked it, because you asked it in such a great way for me to be able to explain it. So the first thing that I would say is that one of the things that makes relationships so difficult is that most people come into a relationship with a concept of expectation of how they believe that relationship should be, how they believe that other person in that relationship should act. And I have always spoken about the fact that one of the toughest things about expectation is that expectation invariably leads to disappointment. Because what's happening when you are putting forth expectation is that you yourself in that situation are not raising your own personal vibration of love. Your expectation is that someone else is going to raise your personal vibration by the love or the actions or the gifts or presents or different things that they are going to do for you that is going to make you feel loved. And that is such a prevalent thing as to how most human society has created a myth, if you will, around love and how people see it. And the truth is, the way vibration works, the way love works in particular, is that it begins, first of all, with yourself. It begins with your ability to love and appreciate yourself, and for you yourself to feel a sense of completion or a sense of being enough without having a particular individual showing love to you. And I want to be specific about those words, a particular individual, because there are times that someone can have so many people in their lives that love them, and they love them so much. And you could have an individual that 100 different people love and show love and show appreciation, but that person is so focused on trying to get the love and attention of one person that they miss all of the love around them. So that's why I'm saying the first thing starts with having an awareness of love for yourself, being open to all of the love that is around you, separate and apart from that of relationship love. And then if you are involved in a relationship, to realize that what makes a really strong and wonderful relationship is to look past your physicality a bit, to look past your humanness a little bit, and realize that beyond that, there is two souls that are attracted to each other. And to make a wonderful relationship, you look towards lifting that other soul to be the greatest possible expression of itself that it can be. And not for the purpose of what they are going to do for you, but because your love for them is to raise them up to be everything that they could possibly be and everything that they could possibly imagine. And in so doing that, in so loving to that level, you raise your vibration up in doing. You surround yourself with an energy of love that very often, Pam, is what then causes that other person in the relationship, because you have so lifted your energy that they in turn turn around and want to love you back in that same manner because you've given them such a bolstering of energy. I would like to give you an example. Supposing you are a wife or a girlfriend who always complains to your boyfriend or your husband about the fact that they never do the dishes. They never do the dishes. You always leave the dishes. You never do the dishes. And that becomes this this less than sort of a thing. It becomes a complaint because in your mind, if that person loved you, they would do the dishes. So one day you come home and you find your spouse or your boyfriend in the kitchen doing the dishes because part of an act of love in his heart is he's come home that day and said, you know what, I'm going to surprise her and do the dishes. And there's two different ways at that point in time that you can actually respond. One way is to respond by saying, oh, thank you so much. Oh, I love you so much for doing this. In which case that other person feels that love and appreciation and the lack of complaint. But what so often happens is that person who comes home and sees her husband doing the dishes or her boyfriend doing the dishes or her roommate doing the dishes then says, wow, finally, it took long enough, didn't it? You know, you're finally doing something. And what has happened at that point? The other person now feels depleted in their energy. They feel unappreciated. They feel unlifted. And they resent then that they've done it. They don't want to do it. And this is what happens so often in relationships, is that one person wants so much for the other person to express love in the way that they think love is supposed to be expressed, that when it gets expressed, they will actually miss it. And they will cause themselves to be further alienated from love. So the key then is to always think about love, not in the sense of action, if you will, but in the sense of vibration. And to try to approach love in a loving manner. I know that sounds so common sense or so easy, but most humans don't approach love in a loving manner. They approach love in a confrontational manner. They approach love as in a, if you loved me, you would do this, as opposed to saying, I love you so much. Tell me what it is that I can do to show you how to love you better. And then allowing that other person to learn from what you've just done so they could say, you know what? This feels really good. Let me do this with you. Let me ask you now, what can I do to love you better? What can I do to make you... Do you know what I mean? So it is really and so much easier than one might think in order to be able to help to reinvigorate that energy and help to reinvigorate that romance. It's as simple as saying to the person you love, you know, I love you so much. And I remember a time in the beginning of our relationship, we had so much fun together, and I want that back. I just want to know, you know, what can I do that would make you feel like you felt when we were first together? What can I do to make you feel like $1,000,000? What can I do to make you feel so loved? And then to do it, you know?
Beautiful.
And not worry so, about it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so Margaret, what you're saying is no expectations. Don't expect the other person. Love yourself first. And then raise your own vibration, and in doing that, flow that vibration and that love to the other person, and their love will generate naturally. Their vibration will come up naturally, and that passion will return. Did I summarize it correctly? Did I miss anything?
Exactly. I think you summarized it very well. And And within that, the other aspect is, in terms of loving yourself, is not the reason why you don't want to have expectation is because when you have expectation, you are sending out an energy basically to the world that says, this is the parameter of love. And what you do by doing that is you actually stop the energy that could come to you for all different types of amazing loving energy that you would never, ever think about because you're so set on your parameter. It's like on your radio in the car, have you ever hit the button that allows your car to automatically go from station to station so you can just hear different songs and decide what song you would like to hear? And when you do that, when you're doing that, sometimes a song comes on the radio on a station you would never listen to, and you discover something new. You discover a new station. You discover a new thing that you love and get excited about because you've left yourself open to this wide bandwidth of energy, this wide bandwidth of signals coming at you, as opposed to when you lock yourself in to a couple of stations because you're used to them, and then you go from station to station and say, oh, there's never anything on the radio.
I see.
Hey, Margaret?
Yes. Yes, Margaret.
I really like Pam's question. I know she has some more, but I want to actually take this in a different direction because I like Pam's question where she was kind of like, well, if you're in a relationship, how do you rekindle that? And what I like to do is go in the other direction because I know for both me and Pam, this is probably one of the biggest questions we get on relationships, and that is if an individual is out there, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, what is the key thing an individual, a man or woman, can do to attract their soulmate, twin flame, or a beautiful relationship into their life if they're alone at this time?
I would say that the most important thing you can do is to love yourself and treat yourself in the same manner, in the same loving manner that you would treat a person that you are in a relationship with. So if you are not involved with somebody at this time, but if you were involved with someone, you would say, on this Valentine's Day, I would take them out to a wonderful dinner. I would buy flowers for them. I would buy a day at the spa. I would buy them jewelry. I would get them a new watch. I would do those different things. Then show that level of love to yourself. There are many among you out there who would never, ever, ever think to buy yourself a piece of jewelry or a watch or something of that nature because you just don't feel deserving of that. You know, you go, oh, I don't want to buy that for myself, you know. But you would, in a heartbeat, buy it for someone that you love because to you, that then is the expression of your love. And when they open that gift, your heart soars by seeing the look on their face, by being loved. So it starts with when you're looking in the mirror and you see your face and you look into your own eyes and having the ability to look at yourself and say, I love you. You know, and look at yourself, Mark, in the mirror and say, I love you. Or look at yourself, Pam, in the mirror and say, I love you. And then to think about what you would like to do in the celebration of that day and the celebration of your love for yourself, your love for your own being, your own soul. See, what happens so often is that when you get involved in a relationship and you love that other person and you want them to be happy, you begin to adapt your life to their likes and dislikes because you just would like to make life more comfortable. So you begin to see the movies that the other person likes, or you compromise all the time about the things that you would do. You might not have the same time to read if you would like to read or to do things for your own spiritual support, all those different things that you might not do in a relationship, when you're not in a relationship, you have all of that time. You, if you like action-adventure movies, and you usually, when you're with a girlfriend, you wind up going to see a romance movie, or you like watching Showtime or HBO rather than Lifetime, you have that opportunity to do that in this expression of being able to love yourself. And that, you know, it's interesting. If there was a caller...
I think what's interesting, Margaret, is that I know with a lot of the work that I've done on relationships that one of the things that I always say is make up a list of what it is that you would want to see in a partner and become it. You know, like if you're looking for a sense of humor, if you're looking for, you know, certain types of qualities, that you would make up that list and then become all those characteristics, become all those traits.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And the reason for that, Mark, you know, when Jerry and I are, we teach a group called the Soul-Based Business Class. And one of the things that we do is we ask people to look at people that they admire in their life and to write a list of what they admire about that person, and then to look at themselves and write a list about what other people admire about them. And what they find so often is the things that people admire about them are some of the same qualities that they admire in other people, and they don't realize that they have. And clearly, when you are looking for qualities in another person, you're looking for those qualities because they are your qualities. They are your soul that is searching to come to the surface. Like energy attracts like energy. So that you're looking for is that already exists within you. So if you're looking for somebody who's passionate and sexy and able to be spontaneous, it is because you are looking to be those things. You are looking for someone to bring those things out in you. So I so agree with what you say, Mark. If you are looking for certain things in a relationship with someone and you identify those things, become those things, because then as you become that, you raise your vibration, you raise your happiness, and like energy attracts like energy and draws that to you like a moth to a flame. That's so wonderful, Mark. I thank you for saying that. That's such a great way to be able to explain it.
Yes.
Margaret,
I have one quick question.
Hold on, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
All right. So Margaret, in closing on that, I would say that it's also probably really important to make sure you do your own personal work so that you're not attracting any negative qualities. I guess that's kind of just makes sense.
Well, that is true. And in doing that, what you want to do is you want to identify the things that you do want to have, but not the things that you don't want to have. Because when you focus on what you don't want to have, you draw that to you. So if you're saying, I want to have a relationship, I don't want to have an abusive relationship, I don't want to have a relationship where I always have to do what that person wants to do, well, then what you say instead is, I want to have a relationship that is loving and nurturing and gentle, not non-abusive. And the other thing, and this is where affirmations come in so well, is to be able to say, why is it so easy for me to draw into my life someone who has these characteristics? Or why is it so easy for me to become this person? Because that then gets your brain working with you and not working against you. A lot of times your brain is so used to your past experiences that when you say, you know, I'm going to draw someone to me that does this, your brain is like, no, you're not. That never happens. That's not what you do. But if you say why is it so easy, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Margaret. So I'm going to hand this off to Pam because I want to get a question in from her, and then we'll go to the callers to finish off the show.
Surely.
Okay, great. Listen, I have just one question more, Margaret. Actually, I have lots, but this question relates to sex in a relationship. My husband, who has been my husband for most of my life, he's a wonderful man, and he's French. And in the French culture, they believe that sex is the most important part of an intimate relationship. Now, I've gone both ways on this, and I wanted to get your opinion as to what is the truth, what is your truth on sex in intimate relationships? How important is it?
Well, it is extremely important in that sex is not something that actually emanates from your body or from your mind, but it's something that emanates from your soul. And sexual attraction is such a powerful force because what it is about is not simply the act of having sex. It is about the blending of energies together. It is the opportunity, and why it becomes such a powerful experience between people is that it is a joining together of two energies at one time. And again, as we talked about, one soul lifting another soul into another level of ecstasy, into another level of experience. There are times that within the sex act, it is the closest thing to an ecstatic experience because of how it happens. What happens, though, sometimes, Pam, is that sex begins to, again, not be looked at as an expression of love or as an expression of lifting the mutual souls, but it starts to become, in some situations, obligation or a feeling of obligation or a feeling of that there should be, again, some expectation that's tied into it. And very often, for women, very often much more so than men, it's hard to disassociate what's going on in your mind and what's happening in your emotions with the ability to just totally release yourself into sexual energy. And again, that kind of goes back to what Mark is saying, because if what most women want, and I think it is true to a large extent that most women and men would like to have incredibly pleasurable sexual relationships. But what happens a lot of times is, again, just as we talked about before, it's very hard for people to talk about those things in a sexual relationship that would make it so much more pleasurable. And that's why, again, I urge you to start from other forms of conversation where you're able to talk about what is the best possible way for me to be able to express my love for you. Well, if you say that to your husband may suggest some different things, and then if you were to say to him, what would be the best way to express it sexually, he may share with you some other things, and he may then ask you, what are some of the ways I could do that for you? What are some things that could deepen the experience? What are ways that, do you know what I mean? But if the conversation starts in the sexual place, it might be difficult because that's a very sensitive area among humans. So I would urge the conversation to start with just the bigger question of how can I best show you my love? How can I make you feel wonderful and so loved and so appreciated and so cared for as I really do feel for you? And trust me.
Pam, yes? And Margaret, is it okay if we let the show run a little bit over so we can get some extra questions in tonight?
For sure.
It's fine with me, sure.
Pam?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead, Pam.
Okay. If I get to ask another question, I would be real happy.
Absolutely. You're asking wonderful questions. I thank you.
Thank you.
I think they're so helpful.
Well, this is a little bit off the subject, perhaps. I hope not. It's about soul DNA and reincarnation. And I'd like to know, is there a lineal type of reincarnation? When you meet someone that you obviously are suddenly attracted to that feels like your soulmate, is this someone that you have met before in a prior life? And is there a lineal way, like we experience life from birth to death? Do we have reincarnations that also follow a lineal pattern, like you're born in World War I, and then you're born in World War II, and then you're born in, whatever, where the time expresses itself in a one right after another kind of expression? So those are sort of two questions in one. Do you understand what I'm asking?
I very, very clearly understand what you're asking. Okay. So let me explain by saying yes and no to the question. What happens is that there is not, time in essence is not lineal per se. If you could imagine for a moment that from the time of creation where this tremendous burst of energy took place, which then led to the creation of the angels and the creation of the souls, which was the next level beyond the angels, and that you then, as souls, burst forth into other forms of creation, and that line of creation is just continuing to burst forth. It is just ongoing. That explosion of energy just keeps on going. And you then, as a soul, within a group of souls that are within the same DNA line, if you will. So if you can imagine that the angel that assisted the creator with your creation has a DNA connection then to not only you, but hundreds and thousands or more of other souls that are within this connective group together, that you might then call a soul group or soul friends or soul mates. And you then, that energy then explodes forth. And as it's exploding forth, it has this perception then of creating elements of time, so that there is then what you will perceive on the human level as the 1700s and 1800s and 1900s, and they do exist, but your soul is existing throughout all of those things. It's just taking a piece of its energy to place it into those places. So clearly, yes, you do encounter on a soul level where you feel this soul connection to other people who are connected to your soul in all of these different aspects and different time periods. So that there may be a time period that you would identify as the 1700s, where there may be someone who is part of your soul group who then again is with you in particular incarnation in the 1800s or the 1900s. But understand, Pam, that you are also already existing in the latter part of what you would call the 2000s and the 3000s and the 4000s. And that some of those creatures that you refer to in this time frame as aliens or extraterrestrials are actually your souls who have developed the ability to transverse time. They've developed the ability to actually cross the time-space barrier, much like you might have seen in episodes of Star Trek, where they would be able to break certain barriers and go back in time. And that's what happens with what you see as extraterrestrials, is they are actually your own souls who have come back to see history firsthand so that they can learn from it and understand it. and not just look at it from the point of view of the interpretation that someone has given to it. And also to see if there's something that they can do to help. But can I just go one step further with that question, Pam, because it's such a wonderful question?
Sure.
This is also what causes so many of the sexual identity questions that happen in mankind, and also situations of infidelity at times, because you may be involved in a relationship with someone you very, very much love, and then all of a sudden someone enters your life who is someone who has such a strong soul connection with you, and someone who you may have shared many incarnations with, many lifetimes with, many periods where that cellular memory of that connection is so strong that regardless of the level of experience that you're currently involved in, the desire and attraction is almost overwhelming. And that's what sometimes causes very good people to be pulled into what is called infidelity, because they really don't know how to not respond to this incredible attraction. And it's also the reason why there's different types of sexual identity, why someone who may have come into various forms of incarnation more frequently in one form than another form, has within the structure of their understanding, within the structure of their cellular memory, more cellular memory that they recall as a male than as a female. And they may, however, in this lifetime, be in a female form or a male form, or they may be so, so entrenched into the energy of the female form and within a male body that they feel compelled to change the gender of their form because it's not their truth. And they understand their truth to be something different. And that's why in the book, when we talk about sexuality, I explain that homosexuality is not abomination. It is the soul seeking to express their truth, that this is they're not feeling within their form what society is saying that they should feel, as is transgenderism, which is even a greater expression of the truth of trying to create the form the way it was not created to do this. So that's does that help to answer the question you're asking, Ben?
You know, Margaret, I have to say that I love you. You've not only answered my questions, but you've also answered about four other questions that I haven't had the time to ask. So about homosexuality, about so many things that I wanted to talk to you about, and you've read my mind, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're so
wow, that's powerful. Yeah, thank you. So, Margaret, if it's okay with you, I'm going to go ahead and start managing each of the callers, and then after we do that, we'll go back to Pam for some more questions.
That would be great. That would be wonderful.
Okay, Brittany, you're on with our angel, Margaret, as channeled by Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very good, Brittany. How can I help you?
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. And I just was wondering, I kind of taken a break from relationships to focus on kind of my life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's a good thing that I'm doing that.
Well, I think, Brittany, the thing that makes it a good thing is that when you're saying you're taking a break from relationships, really essentially what you're taking a break from is relationships with other people or outside relationships, and you're having the opportunity to develop a little bit of a better relationship with yourself. And that comes back to things that we were talking about a little earlier in the program, you know, when Mark was saying about trying to create within yourself the thing that you're really looking for in relationships, because very often what happens, Brittany, is there really isn't a certainty about what it is that you're looking for in a relationship. It's more certainty of what you are not looking for. in a relationship. And I think, so I think right now this opportunity that you're taking to work on yourself is a really good opportunity that would even help to lead you into a better space for going into other relationships in the future. Can I just add one thing to it, though? And it has
sure.
to do with the concept of working on yourself. And sometimes humans have a tendency, because it's so easy for you to always feel that life is struggle, and to think that in order for you to move into a better space and a better understanding of yourself, that you have to go so deep and understand things and work hard. And sometimes there's some truth to that, but really one of the most important things that you can do is to try to discover the things that make you happy and do them. And that is more important than anything, because what happens when you do that is that you raise your vibration. And vibration is what this is all about. If you lift your vibration as soon as you do things that make you happy, you lift your vibration into a place of happiness, and by just the natural order of things, what will happen from there is you will attract to yourself then more things that make you happy. And sometimes when you're working on yourself and you're always focusing on the things that were the struggles of your life, the things that you want to get past, the things that are making you unhappy, it doesn't allow you the opportunity to think about the things that make you happy and to just really focus on those, and just to allow yourself, I would say, let yourself have a break from working on yourself and just let yourself have some time to be happy, just to be happy, just to let yourself do things that you love and experience things that you really wanted to always experience, and be a part of that joy of experiencing what it means to be you. And the happier you are in that process, I guarantee you, Brittany, you will find yourself drawing to you more and more and more happiness.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah, that's so true. I think I really have been spending like the last year trying to figure it all out and haven't really focused on that, you know, the simple thing.
It just makes sense, Brittany, because when you're trying to figure it all out, what you wind up doing is you're focusing constantly on your problems, and that sometimes causes you to focus on yourself as a being that is broken and problematic and not working correctly, and, you know, somehow less than. Whereas if you focus on the things that you love, then you're focusing on the non-broken, happy, wonderful part of you that is there not experiencing problems, and that is what you bring more to you then. So I urge you to try to do that more so, and to
I definitely just will.
Love life. And if you find yourself having problems doing that, then say the affirmation, why is it so easy for me to just love everything about my life?
That's really great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Geraldine. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye now.
All right. Crystal, you're on with Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. Thank you for having me tonight.
Hi, Crystal. How are you today?
Good. I am calling because I have currently been working on my expansion and working with my angels recently. And I am currently in a relationship and have been for quite some time and seem to find myself very unhappy with where I'm at. When I choose to leave the relationship, I feel guilt and empathy for the other person and not so much for myself. And I guess the question that I've been asking myself lately is, what part of myself am I not loving?
I don't think that you are not loving a part of yourself because of feeling care and empathy for the other person. You are just being a caring and empathetic person. That is not a bad quality to have. And when you are leaving a relationship and caring about the fact that perhaps your act of leaving the relationship has caused some pain to another individual, it is part of your soul trying to understand what it is that your actions are doing, you know, so that you can learn from that process. What I would just say is that part of what very often you find yourself focusing on is the things in relationships that are not making you happy, that are not fulfilling your needs. And then going into the next relationship with the sincere hope and desire that your needs are going to be filled and understood, because that will be a way for you to be able to feel loved. And I will go back again to a comment Mark made earlier in the program. What will really, really help you is to go into the relationship with yourself, looking at what are the things that you would like from another person in a relationship, what are those things that you would like, and becoming those things for yourself, really becoming all of those things so that you can, first of all, grow your vibration by doing that, and second of all, to find out if those things are as important to you as you might feel that they are. And you have a very, very loving and compassionate heart, and you've lived a great deal of your life in rather codependent relationships. But very often when someone is in a codependent relationship, there's a lot of resentment that takes place because the feeling is that there's an expectation that if you keep loving someone and showing someone how much you love them, that at some point in time they will get it and they will love you back in the same way, because you figure, I'm showing them how to love. I'm trying to teach them how to love. But you're doing it with the hope that it will be returned in that same way. It's not being done with the clear-cut understanding that I'm doing this because I want to raise this person's soul up to be the greatest that they can possibly be, and I'm doing this because that the act of that alone makes me feel a love for myself. But more so it's done because the hope is there that if you love that person, somehow you will find a way to reach them so they will love you back in the same way. It is as though, I'm trying to think of a really good analogy, it's as though you were driving a car and you kept doing certain things with the car in the hopes that somehow the cruise control on the car would learn to do the things that you want to do, that somehow you could program that in that other person's thinking who comes from such a different space. But the interesting thing is that those other people, because like energy attracts like energy, they're feeling the same way. They are feeling as though you have attracted to you basically someone in many cases that has qualities that you would like to be able to have. You know, most people in codependent relationships wish that they were stronger, wish that they could say no, wish that they could be a little more distant at times and actually see qualities in the person they care for that are not loving to them as things that are ways to help them to identify what would be better for them. So I would say to you, please ask yourself the affirmation, write it on your mirror, do whatever you can, of why is it so easy for me to learn to love myself and do for myself the things that I would love to have someone else do for me first.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank
have
you.
A good night.
You also.
thank you so much.
All right, you ready for another caller, Margaret?
Yes, yeah, sure.
All right. Ann, you're on with Margaret.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Margaret. I appreciate the opportunity. Hi. My question started out totally backwards, and I'm going to ask it the other way.
Okay.
I just would like you to talk for a minute about this, and if I ask the question this way, why is it so easy to love everything? That's not it. That was yours. I had written this down before I heard the caller, so it came in exactly the same. Why is it so easy to have enough money to have everything I want? I just wonder if you could talk on that for a minute.
Well, it is a very good starting question, but what makes it a little more difficult is that the way you're stating the question intimates the fact that you truly do understand everything that you want and that you really know everything that you want. And that's a very broad-based question because very often the things that you may think you want are not necessarily the deeper things that you are wanting. Like, let's say, for example, your question is, why is it so easy for me to have all of the money that I need to pay off my house? Then that is a better question to ask of yourself. Because the more specific you are, the more you... I'll liken it to a Google search. If you go into Google and you say, everything I want, what will come up on Google?
Nothing. Well, or everything.
Right, exactly. It is the same way when you are asking your brain to search for the cellular memory to help you to create vibration to draw something to you. So that when you go in with a vague search that says something like, to have everything I want, it's very likely what you will get back is a vague response. Whereas the more specific you are able to be, the more you are able to say, this is what I'm speaking of. Why is it so easy for me to have a home on the beach? Why is it so easy for me to have those things? Then what happens is you are able at that point to create in your mind what it is you're looking for. And not only can you create it in your mind, you can actually find pictures of that thing that you're trying to create. And you can create more excitement. And excitement is what actually will give you the ability to manifest things faster. You know, the more excited you are about something, the faster you are able to make that something come to reality. And you probably have seen that in your own life, you know. When you are not excited about doing something, you procrastinate, you do everything else you can possibly do to not have to address it. But when you're excited about doing something, then you find that you can't wait to get up in the morning to do it. And that's because you've created a certain level of energy around it. And that is the excitement factor that you really, really want to create. So I just would suggest you make that why is it so easy question as specific as possible. You can create a page of those questions, and then you can create a mind mapping board with pictures of those things that you're trying to do and images of those things that you're trying to make, and you'll find it so much easier then to manifest things into your life.
I can already feel it. I love that. Thank you.
Good. I'm so happy. Good night, Dylan. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a really great question from Anne. All right, Pam.
Wonderful.
Back to you with questions, Pam.
Okay, great. I have a question, Margaret, about spiritual abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I just feel that everyone has abilities in different forms. You know, some people can play the piano, some people can sing, some people can cook, whatever your particular talent is. Why is it that some people are born with spiritual abilities, and how important is it to develop those spiritual abilities? Is it related to your spiritual evolution? Is it a freak accident? And I also want to address the distractions of third dimensional reality as it relates to your spiritual growth. Is it even important, or do you just kind of plodding along life being happy? Would that be a better evolutionary process than putting any effort into it?
Wow, that's another very good question. Well, so there's two parts to that answer, and the first is that spiritual ability, if you will, the ability to converse with angels, spirit guides, to do any number of different things in that regard, is something that every individual has. You all have that ability to do so. It is not something that only certain people have. However, it is something that only certain people will make the decision to develop. It's the same as there are some people who will never go to a gym and other people who will go, and in the process they will develop a different physique. There are people who play the piano who will make the decision to pursue that career of playing the piano. So all of these different things that occur because people will make the decision to further their development in that given area. So, you know, it's something, you know, on the website, on Jerry's website, there is a workshop that's called the Angels and Shamans Workshop. And it's a workshop that brings people into communication with their angels so that they can learn their names and messages for them and go back over and over again. And it's something that 99% of the people who do the workshop experience communication directly with their angels. They do have that that ability to communicate immediately. And it's a very, very easy thing to do. Now, your other part of the question is an equally interesting one, because sometimes I've heard people who are very, very involved in trying to develop themselves spiritually who will look at people who have absolutely no desire to proceed spiritually, and they're just living their lives and doing things and having wonderful, wonderful lives and being very happy. And they'll say, well, why am I doing this? Why am I even bothering to do this when these other people are so happy and they're not doing any of it? And that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, which is that really is, to a large extent, life is about. Life is about vibration and happiness. And it is about pursuing those things that make you the absolute happiest, and pursuing those things obviously without attempting to do damage to others in the process. You know, you don't want to just be someone who's making yourself happy at other people's expense, but at the same time, if you are honestly pursuing that in your life that's making you happy, even if you're not trying to be a spiritual person, you are raising your vibration, because that's what you come here as a soul to do, to raise your vibration and to experience this human condition in the happiest way that you possibly can. Now, where it comes together is that if you can do both, if you have the ability to be as happy as you can possibly be, but you're also understanding some of the spiritual aspects of manifestation and working to the betterment of the planet, then you have kind of the wonderful combination of two different things that give you the ability to move in a lot of different directions and very happily, and to have both a fulfilled life in those things that you're trying to do for the planet, and at the same time, a very fulfilled life about what you're doing for yourself personally. So really, Pam, the best way is if you at all can do it as a combination of things, it's wonderful. But if you're not doing it that way, to just live your life to be as happy as you possibly can, and to share that happiness and want to make other people's lives the same.
Lovely. And, Margaret, I've got a close friend. Her name's Diane. And Diane lost her husband, Roy, less than a year ago. And this is her first Valentine's Day without him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you if you could give our audience perhaps a little guidance or advice on how to deal with loss of that magnitude, and maybe how to get through Valentine's Day on a happier note.
That is a wonderful question. So what happens, first of all, as we were discussing before, is that when you are, when you leave this particular plane, when the human body no longer is supporting the energy of that piece of the soul that is existing within the human body, it does not stop that soul from existing. And because of the fact that all attraction is really soul attraction, and I know that there are those of you that might feel that, you know, yes, there is attraction because there is the form of a body that is extremely attractive, and that is true to a certain level, but really that doesn't last as long as does attraction that takes place when there is attraction on another level. And that is where soul attraction takes place. And when someone crosses over and their soul is still in existence, what occurs in that situation is that soul continues to be around you. That soul continues to try to help to support you then in what's going on for you within this experience on the earth plane. And what can really help is to do whatever you can to open yourself up to recognizing the signals that are there, recognizing the things that are trying to show you that loved one is there in trying to be around you. So you might find yourself at times noticing the smell of a cologne that they wore, that you just kind of coincidentally think that may have occurred, or you might hear songs come on the radio that you just think, well, it's a chance occurrence that I happen to hear this song that we loved or he loved. There are so many ways that your loved ones who are still existing in that soul form and so powerfully existing in that soul form are there trying to help you. So I would urge her to go ahead and speak to him and ask for his help and to understand that he is not only as he in this particular human incarnation that he took this form, but he as a soul mate, soul peace, soul connection to her has been with her forever and will always be with her. So to know that that energy is there all around her and that she can always call on it and always feel it in her soul level on a much deeper level.
Margaret, thank you so much for your insight and your wisdom.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for your questions. They are truly wonderful questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. As always, such incredible guidance and love, and I know we help so many people with just a few questions between Pam's great questions and the questions from some of the callers. I know it's always great to see someone ask a question. We know that one question is helping hundreds and thousands of people. So thank you for that, Margaret.
You're very, very welcome. You're very welcome.
And with that, if you could bring Jerry back for us, we'll say goodbye to him, and we appreciate you being on the show, and we will look forward to having you on in the future. Thank you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And have a lovely evening. Goodbye, dear one.
Thank you. You too.
Wow, that was powerful, and he had some incredible questions,
hey.
Pam. I love it.
Hey,
Jerry.
Hey, Mark. Hi. Pam,
those
were wonderful questions. Thank you so much for asking them. And to the callers also, thank you. They were terrific questions as well. So I know
you're so welcome. Thank you for the answers.
Thank you. Thanks for having the opportunity to bring Margaret on and to be able to do that. It was really great.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for both of you being on. And Jerry, why don't you give out your website before you drop off?
Sure. The website is jerrygavin.com. It's Jerry with a G, G-E-R-R-Y, G-A-V-I-N. And I did just want to tell callers, if you are interested in the opportunity of speaking to Margaret personally in much the same manner as we just did, please, you know, on the website, you can click a link to schedule a personal reading, or you can email me at jerry@jerrygavin.com, and we can schedule an opportunity to do a personal reading over the telephone or over Skype. I do them all over the world, so we can always try to find a convenient time to do that. But it is a wonderful way to really help to get some clear guidance in what direction your life is going in. So I just wanted to let your callers know about that they could have that opportunity to speak directly to her.
Wonderful.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Jerry. And have a great night, everybody. And we're going to finish off with some music that's channeled from my friend Mike, who channels music from angels. Good night, everybody. You've been listening.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.